Hi, I'm Brian Hart.
I'm Karen Holman.
And you're listening to
Cool Sheets.
In the coming half hour, you'll hear all about 10 things that we're currently enjoying and using in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
At the end of our 2 minutes, boom, time's up, and we go back and forth until we've shared 10 cool sheets with you.
Cool Sheets is all about fun, interesting, and or useful things to enhance your life.
We broadcast from our studios in Salem, Oregon on KMUZ Turner, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, or streaming online at kmuz.org every Sunday from 9 to 9:30 a.m.
Our website, coolsheets.cool, yes, that's coolsheets.cool, has info about all the cool sheets that we list every week if you want to find out more details about them.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Here we go with this week's Cool Sheets. Hello, welcome to Cool Sheets. I'm Karen Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And here we are. What? In
We're
the studio?
We're back together.
At the same
again.
Time? Yes. Or somebody's doing some really magnificent editing right now, and it sounds like we're talking
There's
together.
There's technology out there that could probably do that.
Whoa, that is true. And that's my first cool sheet. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right, but I do get to go first, and my first cool sheet is something called the Wheel of Life. And when I read about this recently, it turns out it actually spirals back, no pun intended, to a Wheel of Life I do know a lot about, and that is this old example of the Buddhist Wheel of Life. And this has been used by Buddha as a tool to teach students lessons of enlightenment on the Eightfold Path. And this octagon has also been used in other Eastern philosophies such as Taoism and the Bagua, coming from the I Ching, which is used in feng shui and things like that. But in any case, this more recent version actually derives from Zig Ziglar, who he himself is pretty famous from the, I don't know, 70s or 80s or something. But Paul Mayer is the most recent one. He's involved with the Success Motivation Institute. He has taken this to be a useful tool when your life has gotten out of balance. And I know that mine is currently. So that's why I took heed to this and checked it out. And I was like, this is a very nice tool. And one of the things I like about it is not only is it allowing you a chance to take stock of your life, but it's also a really nice visual. So I always like anything that has different modalities to understand it better, and especially if there's some visual aspect to it. So if you are suffering a little bit from maybe workaholism or getting burned out, or maybe you're just unsatisfied and you're not sure why, it might be worth looking at this Wheel of Life. Essentially, this circle, what you do is it represents the whole of you. So there are these eight aspects of you. And so these spokes of this wheel, you're looking at different parts of your life, and you can go through various ways of looking at it, identify things that have maybe taken over, things you want to be better. And it's pretty quick to do. And I just think it's a really nice thing to check out. This is the Wheel of Life.
The Wheel of Life. I like it. I have never heard of the old school or that version. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It sounds like a board game. Ah, the Game of Life.
Oh, that's why I always liked that game as a kid. So yeah. I think I might like this version too.
Yeah. Versions. Take a look.
So have you went through it all and checked it out? And
you know, I have done it. So I got really interested in it and then started just reading about it. And then I thought, well, before I talk about it as a cool sheet, I should do it. But I feel like I did it too quickly. So I'm going to like do it with a little bit more intention next time.
And is it like you have to do it in totality, or can you kind of like, oh, I'm going to pick this part of the wheel, or how
no,
does that work?
Yeah, you definitely want to do it all at once,
okay,
because then you see how the wheel is like lopsided.
I see.
And that way you
reprioritize your life. Or
yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to check it out. All right, my first cool sheet is a podcast. Hey, big surprise. But there is a new podcast that has just come out pretty recently as of this taping, which is what, August 2019. The name of the podcast is Room 20. So in 1999, there was a car crash in the California desert, somewhere near the U.S.-Mexico border. There was a bunch of people. They got thrown out of the truck. They were in the bed of the truck. They got thrown out. And when first responders came, they found this man, and he was unconscious. And all he had was a Mexican phone card and a few pesos in his pocket. So they figured he was probably entering illegally. And they airlifted him to San Diego and then transferred him to a villa. And for more than 15 years, he was unidentified and unconscious. And they just called him 66 Garage because that's where the truck that crashed was sent, although that was also actually false. So an investigative reporter from the LA Times, Joanne Farion, spent 2 years trying to investigate who this person is, what is his real name. And then all of a sudden, he smiled at her one day, and she's like, oh my gosh, he's conscious. And she got in the nurse and like, oh my gosh, he smiled at me. And he's like, oh yeah, that's reflexes. That's just, you can smile and make all kinds of gestures and do things when you're unconscious. It's just a thing. And she's like, no. He really looked at me. He smiled at me. And he's like, yeah, everybody thinks that once they start hanging out with someone, especially families do that all the time. And anyway, so far it's only 5 episodes in, and she kind of reevaluates everything she thought about consciousness and identity, and she tries to find out who he is. And I won't spoil anymore, but definitely check out Room 20.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
And so this is all, I don't know if I made this clear, it's all a true story. Uh-huh. And it's a serial podcast, so it's been coming out episode by episode every week or so. And it's been building so far. So depending on when you hear this podcast, it could either be completely finished or you can quickly catch up. The episodes are about 20 to 40 minutes long or so. So not too bad, but super fascinating.
That's awesome. Just from your description of it, it sounds like it would be just as engaging and mind-blowing as Serial. That podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely in that same kind of vein where it's true story, kind of a true mystery as well. And this, you know, I think Serial really paved the way for all these other podcasts, definitely. But the cool thing is, yeah, you're going to see more and more podcasts like this and stories like this that be, you know, that are uncovered and mystery solved. You know, there's so many people that are lying unconscious in beds all over the United States. And also, you know, there's tons of missing people all over.
Yeah, right.
And who knows? These could be connected. They could not be connected. It's just, it really captured me right away. And it's getting better and better to every episode. I want to talk about spoilers, but I won't.
Thank you for that.
I really want to. Once you listen to it, we'll have to talk again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of podcasts, just so happens, my next cool sheet is a podcast, and this is called Sawbones. Sawbones co-hosts are Dr. Sydney McElroy and her husband, Justin McElroy. Justin is a very famous podcaster on his own. He's one of the brothers in My Brother and Brother and Me, who that's a huge podcast in certain realms, I guess. But his wife, Sydney, is this awesome medical doctor. And so the whole premise of this show is to talk about medicine and really the history of medicine and then tie it in with the present. So she's really knowledgeable and she's great and she's funny. And then Justin is super big personality. So he brings in, he's not a doctor, but he brings in a lot of just humor and talking to her about it. So they're really engaging. And so this is really great. If you're not a medical expert, it's fabulous. You do not need to know. And in fact, it is really made for the layperson. So great rapport banter that they have. And a lot of it is based on medical history. For example, they'll go back to the Middle Ages and stuff. And one of their episodes about vaccines, actually, they have a couple because they're really, really passionate about vaccines. And they'll go back to how they were invented and discovered and the things that they did is mind-blowing and really disgusting, actually. So I won't say anything about what they do. Very interesting. But the purpose for them having a couple on vaccines is to debunk so many of the myths that surround vaccines. And there's a lot of talk about that. So I would say, you know, if you're on the fence about vaccines, that episode is a really good one to listen to from get their points of view and the things they have to say. The most recent one has to do with a pharmaceutical company, Eli Lilly, that actually used to be, they used to grow cannabis and now they're being very hush-hush about it, which is ridiculous. But really interesting story there. And it's across the board. Really awesome podcast, Sawbones.
Shook, shook, Sawbones. I like the title too, even.
I know.
So I can't wait to check this out.
Yeah,
you know
it's
how
like
I
catchy.
Love podcasts.
Yes. If you have time for yet another one,
why
this
not?
Is a good one.
What else am I going to do with my life?
No, nothing. Listen to podcasts, yeah. Make podcasts.
Yeah, that's all I do. No, but that's really cool. I like the layman kind of aspect of it too, because so many podcasts that I listen to, I get pretty deep in it and sometimes they're over my head and then I have to listen to it over and over or just skip it or decide what to do. And
right.
Yeah, vaccines, I've heard that that's kind of a hot button for people.
I know. Ooh, I'd like to see if they have something to say about fluoride.
Oh, yeah.
Because
tackle other issues that are super controversial, like vaccines and maybe fluoride? Or
definitely
sure
vaccines
yet.
Is the most – and that is the one where they get the most serious. The other ones are a lot more lighthearted.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And they,
okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, you could just have a whole podcast about vaccines probably forever.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Crazy. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Can't wait to add it to my expanding because I have a bunch more. I've been doing a bunch of cool sheets ahead while you've been on vacation, and I've got a lot of podcasts. I had to disperse them out. So as soon as you said podcasts, I'm like, oh, what if this is one for like 8 episodes from now that I'm saving?
Well, every time you say podcast, I'm like, oh man, is
this going to be it?
I have quite a few too now.
Yeah.
And we've never overlapped.
I know. There's so many podcasts. Okay. My next cool sheet is not a podcast. It's a TV show. And this TV show is called The Boys. And this is an Amazon original. So if you have Prime, it's free. If you don't have Prime, you probably have to pay for it. But you could probably still watch it, I gotta imagine. I didn't know much about this series, of course, since every time I go on Amazon and it was showing me previews for it. And I knew it was a superhero film of some sort or a series, but I wasn't even sure if these are like real superheroes that have real powers or if it's a joke on it or what it is. And I kind of brushed it off and then I just kept hearing about it, not from Amazon, but from other people, how good it was. So I checked it out finally and I binged through it super fast. It's only 8 episodes or an hour each. So it took me like 2 days because, you know, just 8 hours. That's just a couple days for me. And it essentially is like the Dark Justice League. So they have Highlander, who has an American flag cape and he can fly and he can shoot lasers out of his eyes. Sounds familiar. There's Queen Maeve, who has like Amazonian garb and super strong, dark hair. Sounds familiar. A-Train, he happens to have super speed, kind of like maybe the Flash. And there's this guy, the Deep. He can talk to fish. I don't know. It's kind of like a character that I've heard about before. Anyway, they also have the new girl in the Seven, is what they call him. And her name's Annie or Starlight. And so they have auditions to be a superhero, which I think is super funny. And then she has to go through hazing and maybe some other things that get a lot worse. In fact, this whole show gets worse. These superheroes have a really dark side. They also have to, though, they work for a corporation, and so they have to trend, and there's hashtags, and if they go out in groups, they get more likes. And so they have to do like all of these current event things, and it's a really interesting take on the superhero genre. So it's called The Boys. And I was purposely very vague because that's how I went into it. And I think it's best if you don't even watch the trailer, just go into the series, because that's what really blew me away is the direction it went. I was not ready for. And I loved.
Very interesting. Well, I like it how they actually make it real life. Like, yeah, superheroes have to make a living.
Yeah,
and
exactly. That's always a big problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do some of these superheroes make money? Because they're either like a reporter or, you know, or in school, in the case of Spider-Man.
Right.
And they're just not really, but they need to do things that that costs money, you know?
Yeah.
So not all of them can fly to a different country to save the world.
Right.
Some of them have to, you know, take a plane or do other things. So it's super fascinating. And their life, they're not always maybe as nice as they seem. So that's also very interesting. But they have this persona. So they have their, they're like actors, you know, only they're superheroes.
Right.
They have their on-air persona and then kind of what they do in real life.
So it has a dark side. Is it also humorous?
It's pretty humorous. And when I say dark side, I'm talking like hard, hard R. This is not for children.
Oh, good.
This is not. This is like, this is Deadpool.
Okay.
Or worse, if that's even possible. It's dark.
Okay.
It's really dark. So not for the kiddos. Don't watch it with them. And it was a real comic book series, too. It was like 72 comics, I guess. And it was so dark and so parallel. It was DC. And after 8 issues, they gave him the boot and said, we do not want this as part of DC. We hate it. And so it got picked up by Independent. And then I guess the comic is like 10 times darker than the TV show, which is super freaking dark. So
damn,
just stuff to know. It's crazy.
Well, cool. All right. My next cool sheet is something having to do with skincare. And this one, I have to say, I have found it has worked every time for lots of different people. And so that is why it has become a cool sheet. And this happened to me when I got some weird rash on my face and it was like spreading. And so I went to a dermatologist. He couldn't figure it out. He called in another dermatologist. They called in a third dermatologist. So 2 weeks are going by. It's getting worse and worse. So they're ordering stuff from the East Coast, some weird thing, and they don't even know if it's going to work. And it was really expensive. And I was like, I don't know about this. So I started looking into home remedies. So I made this concoction very simple. Yogurt, oatmeal, and Manuka honey. And I started just putting this on. And within 2 days, it was gone. So my son has an allergy to underarm deodorant stuff, and we didn't really know what was going on. And then, again, spreading, I did the same thing, went away right away. I had another friend who had something happen to her face. She used it, went away. So, and then another person. So at this point, I figure it seems to help in these cases I've seen. I know it's anecdotal. There's only 5 cases, but it's worked with all of them. But it's not going to hurt you. So I would just say if any kind of issue you're having, try this. It's just honey and yogurt and oatmeal. So it's not going to hurt you. And check it out. So I will include a link of – this is not new. I didn't make this up. So there's some links that talk about why it works. And I have talked about Manuka honey before. That has been a cool sheet. So there's lots of stuff about that. And also just how to make the concoction. I have a YouTube video for that.
That's cool. Yeah, when you first said, I was like, wait, did you take your own cool sheet and repeat it? But no, it's the concoction. I got to imagine that the yogurt then is not like Yoplait, but maybe a plain
I just use straight plain yogurt.
Okay.
And I mean, I happen to use low fat. I don't know. I've never tried non-fat versus low fat or whatever.
Okay.
But
definitely not like with berries in it.
No, I think that would be too acidic. With a bunch of fruit, pectin and all that. No.
No good.
Yep.
Cool. Just didn't want, you know, our listeners to start dumping yogurt on their head. And
go with the good stuff.
Go with the goods.
And go with the homemade. Have you done yogurt as a cool sheet, like making it? Or you just talked maybe about Instapot where you can make your yogurt. Or maybe Jessica Ramey.
Maybe Ramey did. I don't know. She talked about the Instant Pot. So I don't know.
Well, actually, you know what? The Instant Pot has been talked about three times.
Three times?
I think three now.
It's a super cool sheet.
All different guests.
Yeah. Wow. It's a record.
I know.
That's awesome. Do you have one yet?
I haven't talked to I do not have one.
It's a 3-time cool sheet. It's like the coolest sheet we've ever sheeted.
I can't get myself to spend that money that.
It's like $60 when it's on sale.
I know.
No, okay.
It'll happen eventually.
And then you could talk about it.
Yes. I'll be like, there's this thing. It's great.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. My next cool sheet. And this one kind of tripped me out. it just happened like in the late July 2019. And then I looked to just triple check to make sure no one's talked about this before. And then it was on an article that you talked about in episode 80, which is impossible because it just happened. Literally. So you talked about the Article 10 border walls that artists have turned into power protests. And so apparently they update this article because it was on there. And I triple checked and quadruple checked. And I'm like, I thought this just happened. And it was like, yeah, no, it just happened. So there was an artist, two artists, Ronald Real and Virginia Sanfrentello. And they made a seesaw out of the United States-Mexican border. So big pink neon seesaws, one on each side. So it goes through the slats of the U.S. and Mexico border. And so people from Mexico and people from the United States get on each side and play and have fun and have this moment together. And this definitely does fit into that article. It is such a cool mixture of activism and art and playfulness, and I love the double triple meaning of it and how it's bringing people together from each side of the wall and having them literally have the weight of that other person in as a part of your own consciousness and being, but it's in such a playful way. What did the artist say? Children and adults were connected in meaningful ways on both sides, with recognition that the actions that take place on one side have a direct consequence to the other side. So he said it way more eloquently than I did. But this was all over the news, so I had to talk about it. And I love how it kind of ties back to this other article that you talked about way back. So this just keeps happening all the time. Check out the seesaw or teeter-totter border wall.
I love that you said teeter-totter at the end because I was going to say teeter-totter. That's the word I usually use.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. An amazing way to connect with people across the border. I can't believe they let it happen. I'm so glad they did. That's so cool.
It is temporary. So maybe he knew that it would eventually be taken down or whatever. But they have tons of video.
Cool.
That's just so awesome. They did like drone shots overhead
where you
can see it.
That's awesome.
Teeter-tottering and it's so cool. And other really cool ones, once I went down that rabbit hole, there was also like a burrito restaurant stand. So they would make them on one side of the border and the people on the other side would order them and pay for the burritos.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
It was so like, so they're doing really fun things down there, which I absolutely love because that's what should be happening down there, not anything else as far as my own opinion goes.
Right. If there's going to be a wall, it should be made up of just stuff like that.
Yeah, tons of interactive
teeter-totters
cool stuff.
And food carts and games.
Cool.
Oh my God, you could have someone like playing chess, people playing chess a lot. I mean, you could have anything.
Yeah.
You could have tennis games, ping pong.
So cool.
Oh man. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I love that.
I knew you'd love that one.
Okay. Cool. All right. My next cool sheet. This was super interesting for me to find out. I actually don't mind discovering negative things about myself because I know we're all human and I'm human too. And I like learning more about myself. So I was reading something completely unrelated and I came across this term, maladaptive coping strategies. And I was like, huh, what's that? And I read about it and I went, whoa, there are things I totally do with this, like to cope. And I would say my the one I do best is avoidance, but there are many other things and that I'm sure all of us have done some of these at some point in time. And so this is essentially you have some stressor come upon you and you're going to cope. And how are you going to cope? And so we all have these different ways, and some are escape, and some are numbing, and some are you'll maybe do something compulsive or risk-taking or whatever to deal with it. And so many of these are not healthy, not so surprisingly. And the thing about it that, you know, it's not a bad thing to do something that maybe isn't the best for you, but it's when you start training yourself subconsciously or unconsciously to always do that. And that's when it becomes a problem. And especially if you start doing it when you're a child. the cool thing is, yay, there are adaptive coping mechanisms that you can use to then counteract those. And actually, many of these things have come up in so many ways in our cool sheets in the past. There are things about meditation, and there are things, you know, all these wonderful things that we do talk about. But I think the thing that really hit me the most is really realizing the negative things that I've done. And then now being with that awareness, I can do these positive things that I'm trying to do with the mindset to counteract those negative things that I have trained myself to do. So adaptive versus maladaptive coping strategies.
Cool. More things that I will love. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. I will say it was hard to find good articles that were really concise and that described them. But anyway, I'm trying to pick the best ones I could. So
cool.
We'll see.
Well, thank you for sharing all those. I can't wait to dig in. I also do not have a problem in trying to find that balance of not being too critical on myself,
but
just critically thinking about my own behavior and relationships and all of that. And I constantly strive to always be better at that. It's funny because I would say for you, like, just that you have that awareness, but that's, I never see that. Like, I love your personality, and but it's also because you probably have an openness to it. I think the people that kind of get stuck don't even think this, like, this never occurs to them that
could
should look and see if everything's okay.
You know,
they kind of plow through.
I know. You know, and it is weird because being self-critical, you know, it's not good, you know, being hard on yourself. But at the same time, if you have a little bit of that, then it does get you to look more closely and go, oh, I could do that better.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah. It's like maybe being self-aware versus self-critical or something like that.
Right.
But I'm sure there's better words for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's really cool. So I'll take a look at that and the Wheel of Life.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff here. Okay, my next cool sheet. Oh my, this is such a good one. How am I going to talk about it in 2 minutes? Probably stop rambling would be a good start. This is a group of humans, and they are called the Gorilla Girls. I didn't know anything about them, even though they've been around for a long time. I was when I was on holiday, and I went to the Tate in London. They had a display. The Gorilla Girls are a group of feminist activist artists. They wear gorilla masks in public, and they use facts and humor and outrageous visuals to expose gender and ethnic bias, as well as corruption in politics, art, film, and pop culture. I just love it. I love everything about it. There have been over 55 people that have been members over the years, some for weeks, some for decades. So like I said, they've been around for a long time. They wear these gorilla masks to get attention, of course. So when someone walks in the room with a gorilla mask, you notice. But also they want to keep their they want to be anonymous. They don't want the issue to be about them as an individual person. It's what they stand for. So they do talks in classrooms, in art galleries, wherever they go, they have their gorilla mask on, and I just love it. I'm showing Karen some pictures of them. You'll check our website. Also, I love the art that they do. Sometimes it's just posting it all over without permission in an art gallery, and sometimes the art gallery features them, like the Tate featured them. But they say, when racism and sexism are no longer fashionable, what will your art collection be worth? So it's all these rich white artists and things like that, and that it will be not so worth as much money. The advantages of being a woman artist, and I'll link all of these, but working without the pressure of success, not having to be in shows with men because the women are not there, period. So it's kind of snarky and sassy, but also very true and definitely worth a look. Check out the Gorilla Girls.
Oh, man, you knew I would love that.
I mean, I just like so freaked out when I saw them. And yeah, I knew you would love them. I'm trying to get them to speak at TEDx Salem. Like, I'm obsessed with the Gorilla Girls now and everything they stand for. That was the tippity tip of the iceberg of what they've been doing, what they've done, their campaigns. Go to their website.
That's so cool.
And just check them out.
How many
They're
are
amazing.
There? Or does anyone know?
Probably no one knows. Their website said there have been over 55 people have been members over the years. So they must have a core that, because it says some for weeks and some for decades.
Yeah.
So my guess is that they probably have like a core group that have been around for a long time, and some pop in and out and other things like that.
Yeah.
But I know that they go all over. They've been in New York, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Istanbul, London, Rottingham, Shanghai, just to name a few different places. They have shows, touring shows that have been super successful. Like I said, they'll go to classrooms. They just go when they're uninvited, when they're invited.
Which is great.
They're just awesome.
Yeah, they do.
Oh my gosh.
Guerrilla, like literally guerrilla and guerrilla art.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you know if there are people like try to figure out who they are, like Banksy? You know,
I got to imagine that. Yeah. That especially, you know, when you get into the hater realm, and they probably want to expose them because, you know, and that's also another good thing. When you're an extreme feminist and activist, you get threats and you get all kinds of things. So even more of a reason to have your identity be anonymous. But I like their tagline is, "We could be anyone. We are everywhere."
That's
kind of like
cool.
Anonymous. The hacktivists, you know, I just love it. But they're old school. They've been around for decades.
That's awesome. I have never heard of them.
I know. That's why I had to make it a cool sheet. I was kind of embarrassed that I never heard about them. But then I was also just really excited that I finally was, you know, and that's just another great thing of traveling. You know,
this,
I never would have saw that if I was here in Salem, because we've never had an art show that's had the Guerrilla Girls, and that's, you know, and I'm not into the scene enough to know the art scene, and also it really showed me how ridiculous and elitist and how white the art scene is.
Yeah,
like I knew it was probably pretty bad, like most things, but it's even worse. Like it's a really, I mean, the percentage is like 3% of the highest rich people are the ones that pick 90% of the art shows around the world. You know, they're the ones that decide what art. So that makes people become famous. That makes them, you know, their career set. It's up to the super, super minority of people, usually rich white people, rich white men especially. And yeah, it can make and break someone's career. There's all these other interesting people doing amazing things that no one will ever know about.
Yeah.
But not if the Guerrilla Girls have something to say.
That's right.
Ah, so cool.
Oh, I'm going to eat that up. That is so great. All right, cool. Well, I am to my last cool sheet, and I'm going to be talking about a book. And this book is called Internal Time, and the subtitle is Chronotypes, Social Jet Lag, and Why You're So Tired. This is super interesting. Okay, so this is by Till Ronenberg, and Ronenberg goes through evolutionary roots of sleep cycles and things like that, and really starts out with talking about how, you know, the early bird gets the worm. And so, you know, early risers really are seen as those are the go-getters, and it's a very positive thing. And if you are more of the night owl, usually it means you're staying up late, you're sleeping in, and you're seen as lazy. And so part of this book's purpose is to talk about this and recognize that it's not the case, and that if you are especially looking in modern day society where we now are talking about 24/7 and the way people work at home now and the internet and all that thing, that has all changed. Because when we were more of rural societies way back when, and when you did have to get up at 4 a.m. to milk the cows and to, you know, maybe do something with the crops in the field before the sun rose, then yes, you did need to get up. But now that's not the case. And so there's this disconnect between our internal biological timing and what is expected of us. And so it's really interesting what Ronenberg calls social jet lag. And this is this exhaustion that some people get because they're forced to be in this time zone that is expected of certain things. And one of the things that is talked about are teenagers. And there have been some studies that show that if teenagers were to, or some studies have shown that if they do start school later, their grades go up, they learn more, and all of these other things. So extremely interesting book, Internal Time.
That's great. I'm so, thank goodness that our lifestyle can at least now support that kind of differences in people, because I mean, it's not perfect, but it's getting better at least. So now that it is able for people to work at home and do things late, they found not everybody is the exact same. What a big revelation that
is. I know.
And that really, it's okay, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And to maybe companies can take advantage of that. They can be open longer if they have the earlier people come in and then the later people stay later. And
everybody's at the top of their game
because
they're kind of hitting it at their peak times, not forcing someone to conform. Gosh, I love that. And it's different from introvert, extrovert, it sounds like. It's something similar, but totally different.
Yes.
Which is
cool. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it goes way into, you can actually calculate you can look at, I can't remember all the ways you do it, but time you go to bed and then you add 4 hours and there's all these calculations and then there's a lot of research that supports it and you can kind of figure out how they function best and when they sleep the best and get the best sleep and things like that. So
yeah, that's
pretty
cool. I wonder if they talk about kind of the evolution of people as an individual, because I know I've changed. You know, I used to be a night owl, and now I actually like being a morning person, but it was a very natural change. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because I was forced into it. I mean, certainly I had jobs where I had to be at work earlier, but I went from dreading it to really enjoying the mornings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that took a couple decades before that came into effect.
Yeah.
But now I really do enjoy it. So
I
wonder if it talks about that at all, because that can also change with the person.
Very true. I
got to think.
Very true.
I'm not the only case there.
No, exactly. And I would say I feel like I'm a combination, because I will flip-flop within the course of 3 months. I'll be like in some mode of getting up early and loving it, and then I'll be all night owl mode for a while.
Yeah.
And I like both. They both have like really cool things about them. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, very good point. Cool. All right. Well, my last cool sheet is another human, but I had to talk about this person because it just happened where she went from the next stratosphere, and it is Simone Biles. So she is a U.S. Gymnast, and she is now pretty much crowned as the greatest gymnast of all time. She's a 5-time Olympic medalist, a 6 national title. She's the first woman to do this in 67 years. She's the most decorated U.S. gymnast of all time. She just did two things that no one has ever done before. She did a double-double dismount that's 2 twists and 2 flips off of balance beam. No one has ever done that before. And then she did a triple-double, which is a triple twisting double somersault, a feat that no woman has ever done before. And this was just on the floor exercise, and only a few men can even do it. And that's like the best men in the world. 0 from the United States can do it. Guys can't even do it. She is a phenom. She's in her, I think, early 20s. So she's going to go to Tokyo to the Summer Olympics. She is just, what makes her kind of to the next level is what she's doing for the sport. So she's kind of the Serena Williams, the Michael Phelps level, where gymnastics was always kind of a niche sport. People kind of paid attention during the Summer Olympics, and that's about it. But she's been all over the internet, trending and viral videos. And this is just nationals. That's never happened before. So I'm showing Karen a loop of the triple-double that she did on the floor exercise that no woman's ever done before. It doesn't even look like it's humanly possible. I don't know how she does it. And she does it with this big smile. She's just full of her positive attitude, but she's also super raw. So when she doesn't do well, she is not afraid to cuss on live TV and tell it how it is and kind of the state right now of gymnastics because of the controversy with the doctor. You know, she talks about that very candidly. Definitely check out Simone Biles.
Oh, she is amazing. The power.
Yeah, she's just... I mean, the list of accomplishments so I couldn't even get to are ridiculous. The things that she's already done in her young career, she's won all around by 2.1 margin of victory, which is larger than the margins of victory from 1980 to 2012 combined. That's her average margin. Like, she not only breaks records, she has like four moves now. I think once she does those two moves at an international competition, she will have four moves that are named after her. So they'll be called the Biles.
Oh, that's so cool. Like, oh my gosh.
And that means that she's the only one that can do them. So that's, and then it just becomes in part of the like official record is known as hers. Just records that you could talk about for days and things that she's done that no one else has ever done.
Oh, that's amazing. I love her. And you can tell she loves it. She's glowing. And just like, ah.
Yeah, she's just, I mean, we're truly witnessing a phenom right now. So if you missed Michael Phelps or if you missed Michael Jordan or Serena Williams, just tune in to anything that she does or just Google her name and watch videos and you'll smile for a long time. You don't have to know anything about gymnastics either to know that what she is doing is special because it's obvious. I don't know anything about the triple twist. I don't really know what that actually all means until I started researching for the show.
Right.
But I just was like, holy cow.
Well, I want to rewatch.
This is amazing.
Yeah. I want to rewatch that video with sound and hear the whole stadium explode because people must have just been freaking out. I mean, if they recognized what it
was. They knew that she was so the announcers, you know, who definitely know what's going on, they knew she was probably going to attempt it.
Uh-huh.
And she attempted it like on her first run. Like it was the first routine she did. She just like trots over to the corner. Boom, 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 boom. They put this extra mat even because she's catching so much air. And then they take it away for the rest of the routine.
Whoa,
and they were just like, all right, so go ahead and give her the medal. She actually fell. This is a multi-day event. And she fell twice during the first day.
Yeah.
And they said she could have fallen like four more times and still won the entire event because it's so difficult what she's doing, and when she nails it, she scores so high. And again, that margin,
all of that,
like she has a 2-point head start before anybody even goes, like before she goes.
So
she's already
it's
almost impossible for her to lose.
But
she also nails them. So it's not like she's just falling
her,
all the time.
Right. It's worth it for her to risk it.
Yeah. It's just she is an absolute phenom. And so definitely check it out.
Oh, man. I'm just sitting here watching the video.
I know.
Over
I can just watch
like,
it over and over. It's so amazing.
Oh, I love it. Cool. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.